This is an ENN special report. Now reporting.
Peter Rosenberg!
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
I'm one of the greatest broadcasters on planet Earth.
And I know that's hearsay here. It's
not hearsay, it's not heresy. Hearsay.
Now, from the ESPN New York News Desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Good evening. Welcome to ENN on this Friday, May 21st. Happy birthday, Notorious B.I.G. Happy birthday to the great Havoc of Mobb Deep. Happy birthday to Mr. T. And we'll start off by saying good evening to Michael.
Wow. Wow.
And we'll also say good evening to Don.
Richard, you piece of human filth.
It's not.
Never gets old.
No. All right, breaking news just in here. Let's hear from Mets manager Luis Rojas on Pete Alonso's injury.
He got an MRI, so the MRI came back with nothing major saying right now, but he does have a sprain in his right hand, and which is right now is bothering him to swing. So we went ahead and put him on the IL so he can get some treatment there and then progress into getting some swings and want to make sure that nothing's bothering him to do that.
I've always thought this. Managers don't love their players getting injured, but once they're injured, wow, they're playing with house's money. I saw it with Boone when the Yankees won 103 games. Nobody expects you to win. All the pressure is off. Anything you do is looked at as gravy. Wow, what an unbelievable job the manager's doing. When you have all the talent, the manager has all the pressure, because if they don't win, they don't blame the players. They blame the manager. But if the manager has no talent and still wins, then it's that the manager is brilliant.
Well, useful for Rojas, because so far this season, the Mets have basically been in first place most of the season, and you regularly hear people calling for Rojas' job. So this sort of gives him an opportunity to maybe solidify himself a little bit. See if they can come up with some magic. Sorry, Don?
I said, so there is pressure with ball players, right? Because we constantly told them baseball, there's no pressure. No. There's plenty of pressure. And I do think some of that is alleviated when people aren't expecting you to win.
I mentioned it earlier. John Tavares released from the hospital. He's out indefinitely with a concussion. Scary collision during the game, Leafs-Canadians last night. He was conscious and communicating overnight. He's back home resting, but he's out indefinitely. Scary scene. And, Don, I got to tell you, I was surprised at the fight immediately afterwards, because it seemed like it was clearly an accident. Like, there was no way it couldn't have been an accident.
Well, a lot of people were up in arms about it. Even hockey fans, it was a major debate up in Canada, like, why did Foligno do that? And Foligno's defense was, listen, I just saw my captain lying on the ice, and I have to defend his honor. And Corey Perry, who can fight, whose knee Tavares ran into, understood that, and I think kind of just took one for the team, just getting it out of the way. Michael, I would describe it as, we've seen players get hit when clearly they're reacting to something that didn't happen intentionally.
Right.
And the feeling is, well, I'm sorry, you can't hit my player. So I don't want to get into a debate about it. You hit one of my guys, I'm going to hit one of your guys. It turned out not to be a big deal, but I don't know if Foligno really fully knew everything that happened. We saw the replays, and Ben Chiarot knocked him down. He lost his balance as he's falling. Corey Perry cuts around, hits him in the head, and then Perry goes flying. I mean, that's the level of contact.
Literally, Michael, did you saw the play?
Yes, I did.
I mean, Perry flies down legitimately 6 or 7 feet in the air when he hits him.
Yeah, and he's trying to get out of the way, but like knee right to the head. He's got a concussion. He was bloodied, taken off on a stretcher. He's out indefinitely, but it looks like he's going to be okay. I don't know when he's going to play again.
I don't know about you, Peter, but I've always enjoyed Foligno movies.
I don't understand.
Forget it.
Don? No,
he's not too artsy, I guess.
Foligno. You know what? Go away. Today you've annoyed me like never before.
Really? More than yesterday.
Yeah.
Wait. You started the show saying you were turning over a new leaf.
Yeah, well, it's over. Let's turn back over.
The leaf died.
Hey, Don, let's spend another moment on hockey. Big win for the old Gwynns last night. Back and forth at Nassau Coliseum. Penguins up 2-1 in that series. What were your thoughts?
Well, now the conversation becomes, what do you do with Varlamov? He clearly was not great. Gave up five goals on 27 shots. And I speculated Sorokin playing game two. He went with Varlamov, gave up a tough early goal. They fell behind 2-0, eventually lost the game 2-1. And now he gives up five goals in what was a great back-and-forth game, Peter. Had everything, scrums and physicality. And the take, I'll say this, I think the Islanders are going to be okay. But, and I know this is going to bother a lot of people, Sidney Crosby's great. I mean, he gets taken out of a play, Michael, behind the net, all right? Gets knocked against the boards. I think it was Lee. And then he skates back in time to block a Nelson shot that would have scored. Like, the net was wide open, and he dives it with his stick. He blocks the shot. Otherwise, the game would have been tied again. And there's not a lot of great players that would have
I was going to say, Don, what's the
like
amount
that?
Of superstars in any sport who are offensive juggernauts who get back like that on defense?
He's just a really, really good player. This Penguins team has come to play, and the Islanders have to be careful. All right, so you don't want to flip out. They've lost a couple of one-goal games. Varlamov hasn't been great. But whatever he decides to do, go back to Sorokin or whatever, at least the Islanders are scoring goals, right, with the exception of game two where they only scored the one. I think they're going to be okay, but, boy, this Pittsburgh team has really, really impressed me. And and Ron Hextall, who's the general manager of the Penguins, he just got the job. Trading for Jeff Carter was huge. Carter has just been so money for them. So great job by the Penguins last night.
Yeah, no, they're playing pretty well. Last night was – Don, you know me. I'm a Johnny-come-lately every year, and last night was the game that got me officially very excited for NHL hockey. Although every game I've watched in the NHL playoffs so far – has been ridiculous. Like, Don, it's a really – I mean, does your family even know you this time of year? It's obscenely time-consuming.
I tweeted
every
it last
Every game
night.
Goes long.
There were three games all being played pretty much the same time. There's a 6:37, 7:30 starts, and they were all tied. And you don't want to miss anything, so you're just flipping back and forth every game. The Florida-Tampa series has just been unbelievable.
I'd also just like to say to anyone out there, who's really never dialed into hockey, because there are a lot of people, sadly, who never really have. Even if you don't have a dog in the fight, if over the next 6 weeks it's nighttime and you're hanging out, sitting around doing nothing, go to NBC Sports or USA or MSG.
Lots of fun hockey going on.
You will literally never be bored with playoff hockey.
How you gonna do that hockey?
Don, one thing that never bores you, golf, am I right?
Oh, it's one of the most consistent things in my life.
Golf is garbage.
Right.
I'll be bored by it.
Okay. Well, guess what?
What?
Phil Mickelson came to play
lefty
at the PGA Championship. Now, he has surrendered the lead.
Oh.
Ushazen is now up a stroke. Actually, it's Ushazen and Koepka at 6-under at the top of the board. Phil Mickelson at 5-under, followed by Hideki Matsuyama at 4-under. But what a day and 2 days for Phil Mickelson. When he entered the clubhouse, he was in the lead all by himself.
That's good. He didn't blow the lead. Somebody just overtook him.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Okay.
No, he didn't blow the
lead. I just wanted to make sure.
I know. He went into the clubhouse with 5-under, and now Koepka and Ushazen are 6-under. But just a hell of a couple of days for Phil Mickelson. If Mickelson were to retain the lead, he would become the first player 50 or older to do so. Unfortunately, this did not happen. Had he held the lead, it would have been the first two-day lead for a 50-year-old since, here's a hint, someone over 50 at the 2012 Masters. Another secondary hint, really big player from the 80s and early 90s.
Is that Norman, or is that too late?
You're in the right era.
Gary Player?
No. Fred Couples.
Gary 50. Player was 80. What a terrible guess.
By you? Yeah, no, yeah. Greg Norman was the right era. Fred Couples was 50 at the 2012 Masters. I guess he's a bit younger than Norman, too. And Sam Snead did it at the PGA when he was 54, all the way back in 1966.
How old was Nicholas when he won the Masters?
46. Right?
46. Yeah. It's funny. He seems like he was ancient then.
Yeah.
He's younger than Don. Scary. A few years older than me. Oldest player to win a major was Julius Boros, who was 48 when he won the 1968 PGA Championship.
Friends called him Julie. I don't know if you realize that.
Is that true?
Yeah.
I think it's Jules.
So, you know what's interesting? You think of golf always being, you don't have to be an athlete and all. But that's kind of around when other athletes, maybe a little bit older, but, like, it's not outrageous. Like, nobody in their 70s is winning major. I mean, nobody has been able to do it above 48, right?
There's so a 40 I guess, Don, that it is, in fact, a sport.
Yeah. Just no, it's Don, not a sport when you play it, Michael.
Right. It's not a sport Don wants to watch, but he thinks it's a sport.
Right. I will always fight that they are athletes and it's a sport.
So
but don't claim that you now play a sport because you golf. Not you, Michael.
Jacob deGrom is on his rehab mission for the St. Lucie Mets. He played Thursday night against the Palm Beach Cardinals. Not exactly fair. DeGrom and his Mets, 7-0 winners. They two-hit the Cardinals. Neither hit was on Jacob deGrom. And at one point during the night, the Cardinals' Twitter account posted, "Jacob deGrom is throwing 102 miles an hour. Someone send help."
See, that's smart social media use.
It really is.
But how about the final score, Peter? They tweet out the line score for the Met game, right? And the Palm Beach Cardinals tweet out, "Oh, so now the Mets give Jacob deGrom rum support."
Well said. And at one point, he had 6 consecutive punch-outs.
Those are strikeouts if you're not cool like Peter.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to give you your NBA playoff announcer lineup.
Love it.
Let's start Saturday, 2 p.m. Jimmy Butler, Tyler Hero, Bam Adebayo, and the Miami Heat at the Big Deer Men of Milwaukee. 2 p.m. ESPN on the call. Our friend, goodbye, sir.
Goodbye, sir.
Ryan Rocco. I call him Ruoco. Hubie Brown and the great Malika Andrews on the sideline.
Well, two of the three of us on the show like Ryan.
Oh, yeah. Well, we'll get to
Michael the other day.
It's for another day. Coming up after that, 4:30 p.m. on ESPN.
But you know the greatness of Ryan, can I just say, the greatness of Ryan? That he could do a podcast with CeCe, who's dropping F-bombs like they're pieces of rice, and then he has to work with 89-year-old UB Brown.
Yeah, that's true.
And he makes it work.
That's what he does. Oh, I mean, by the way, I literally do that. That's all I do. Please.
What do you mean that's all you do?
All I do is operate in spaces that don't go together whatsoever with broadcasters who, if left to their own devices, it would be madness. But I'm the connecting tissue. But by the way, sorry, not about me. Ryan does a great job. You're absolutely right. Game 2, 4:30 p.m., Luka and the Mavs at Kawhi and the Clips, 4:30 p.m. ESPN, The Call, Dave Pasch, the great RJ, Richard Jefferson, and hey, Mr. L.A., George Sedano on the sideline. 8 p.m., let's go to prime time. That's right, it's the big guys, the big channel, the big boys. Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Kemba Walker, and the very underwhelming Celtics are heading to Brooklyn, and I'm not talking to get a slice at Grimaldi's. They've got to deal with the big three, KD, Kyrie, Jimbo, and don't forget Joe Harris on the call. You know who it is, the best friend, Mike Breen, joined by the icon, the legend, the GOAT, Doris Burke, and Lisa Salters on the sideline. The nightcap, for all you lovers out there, get in bed, curl up, have a beverage, because at 10:30 tomorrow night, you have Dame Lillard, C.J. McCollum, and the Portland Blazers at a Jamal Murray-less but full of Joker Denver Nuggets. 10:30 ESPN, Jason Benetti, the great Vince Carter, and my dear friend, the lovely and talented Cassidy Hubbard.
Big fan.
Wow. Oh, she's fantastic. Oh, we're not done. Sunday, 1 p.m., The Wiz, Beal, Westbrook against the hated Joel Embiid, Ben Simmons, and the Philadelphia 76ers, 1 p.m. That's a Turner broadcast, TNT to you and me. The GOAT on his way out the door. He's not done. Marv Albert will be with Grant Hill and Stephanie Reddy. Coming up after that, 3:30 p.m., we'll head over to ABC, where we'll get LeBron, AD, and the Lake Show at Devin Book, your coach of the year, Monty Williams, and the Phoenix Suns. Mark Jones, the great Mark Jones, Jeff Van Gundy, Mark Jackson.
If I could adopt this guy, I would, Mike.
And Rachel Nichols on the call.
So why are they breaking up the big team?
Interesting, right?
Well, maybe it saves a little wear and tear on Breen doing the games in New York. And he's also doing the Knicks on Sunday for MSG.
Oh, because he's got to do Knicks. That's a great call, Kaster. Because, oh, yeah, that way he's in Brooklyn on Saturday and that's the Garden right. on Sunday.
There you go.
So everybody will be in their respective buildings, right?
I believe so. I wouldn't swear to it, Don, but I believe so.
Moving right along. Atlanta. Yes, Trae Young and your Atlanta Hawks taking on, ladies and gentlemen, Julius Randle, R.J. Barrett, Derrick Rose, and the upstart, hardworking, young, scrappy New York Knicks, 7 p.m., a Turner vehicle, hosted by the great Spiro Dedis. Spiro Dedis. And you remember him from UNLV, sure you do. Greg Anthony, the nightcap on Sunday, 9:30. The winner of Golden State Memphis, which is tonight, at Utah, TNT, 9:30, Kevin Harlan.
Some guy with a bra.
And Reggie Miller, and that is your NBA playoff announcer schedule.
Wow.
Now, I got to play this before we go. How much time do I have here?
Two and a half.
I got time.
20 seconds.
I see it. I got time. Calm down with Aaron and Carissa. That's an Aaron Andrews, Carissa Thompson podcast vehicle. Carissa Thompson told a great story about Larry David and Tom Brady. Check it out.
So we get in the elevator. The elevator's packed. And it's that moment where you don't know, like, should we wait for the next one? Or are we getting in? Is everyone going to be okay if we, like, suck it in and, like, you know, everyone moves in? So Larry, who hasn't thought about any of this, he just goes into the elevator. And I'm like, okay. And we turn around and all of a sudden, so we're facing the doors and, like, up against the doors. And I hear this sultry, like, Tabasco vanilla whiskey voice go, "Hello, Larry." And I was like, I turn around and the sex pot that was Tom Brady in sunglasses and a Nick Fouquet hat. And I was like, holy shit, I've never thought this guy's hotter. And Larry goes, Tom, hi. And looks back at the elevator doors and says nothing else. And like, we walk out and like, Larry does this like shuffle. Doesn't even like, and so then like Tom comes up and like continues whatever, talking to him or whatever. But I think why everyone loves Larry is because Larry can't be bothered. Whether it's Tom Brady, Jeff Bezos, Big or Poppy. Anyone in between, he's like,
LD. You think it was that or because he's a Jet fan?
By the way.
Yeah, good, Don.
You know what? Great point by Don. Now, speaking of football and Jets and former Jets, according to Adam Schefter, the top five selling items in the NFL shop are? You guys will get this right if you think.
Zach Wilson.
Here's a hint. It's Brady's like the
Brady's Buccaneers jersey?
It's like the old Chappelle skit. Dylon, 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 Dylon. The top five items are Tebow, 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 and Tebow.
Well, what's the obsession people have with him? I mean, he's a great guy, but
and word is he's got zero shot of making a team. Zero.
By the way, lastly, guys, we close out. Don't forget to check out A-Rod's new makeup line for men. That's not a joke. Shared on Instagram. It's official. A-Rod has a new makeup product. All different shades, whatever you need. That'll do it for ENN on this Friday, May 21st.
Love you can listen to the Knicks and the Hawks game one right here on 98.7. We're going to give away game two tickets on Monday. We'll break down both teams on Monday. Please have a great weekend. See everybody.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoons starting at 2 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.